Good evening, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is my first audio blog, and I'm excited about giving you information this way. My name is Donald Robinson. I'm a Grammy-nominated producer who loves teaching people about the nuts and bolts of the industry. I'm also a keyboard player and songwriter, music arranger, and I just love music. So a couple of weeks ago, I posted on my Facebook site, I made a comment and I said, hey, anything you would like to know about the music business, send me something. I'll just give you my honest answers and from my experience of being out on the road with Grover Washington Jr. and having 4 gold records and having a record go number 6 on the pop charts. I'll just give you my experience and kind of tell you what's been going on with me. And here we are. So I wrote down all the questions that I got and I wanted to share them with you and answer them for you. And if there's something, I hope this helps you out as not just, a musician and songwriter, but someone who just want to know some questions about music and how it works. And if you have any comments you would like to post, you can go to my site, DonaldRobinsonStudios.com, and go to the email and drop me a line, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or you can call me also at 215-874-7142. That's 215-874-7142. All right, so first question I got was from Darlene Sutherland, who's an old friend of mine from Christian Stronghold Baptist Church. I haven't talked to her in a while. Well, I haven't seen her in a while. We kind of stay in touch through Facebook. But she had a question. She wanted to know, she says she's really in the kind of old school music, and she would like to know about, she see posts about unsung heroes and who have become, one who hit wonders. So all these people that you see maybe back in the day and they had one hit, but then you don't hear from them no more. She wants to know what happened to those. What happened to them? Well, Darlene, that's a question that's really could be a lot of different reasons, but usually it could be for contractual reasons. Maybe they only had a single deal contract. The record company didn't sign them for whatever reason. It may be, it could be just business-wise, it was hard to, work with them. It could be the person has some health issues. It could be a lot of different things. But usually if you only hear one song, especially if it's a song that really goes well, in most cases there's been some beef between them and the label or management. There's usually some business reasons for that. Okay. And the other question you had was about what makes a good production, award-winning music. That's a pretty general question, and I'll try to answer this the best way I can and quickly as I can because I don't want this video to be too long. But what makes good production? Well, a producer is a record producer, someone who kind of takes a diamond in a rough and try to make it shine the best way that he can. So that can be taking the artist and listening to her voice or his voice and trying to decide on what's the best song for that artist or what's the best key for that artist to sing in. It could be actually finding the right song. The artist may be a great singer, but the artist may not have a great song. And I think production always starts with the song. You can have the best sounding quality of production, but if you don't have a song, it doesn't mean a thing. So you really need a great song to have great production. So starting with the song is number one. And then being able to find the right musicians to really bring that song across and finding the right engineer and finding the right person to mix the song. So there's a lot of things to make that happen. It's not just the producer, but it's all the people that are working together on that particular project to make that song be the best way that it can be. Okay, I hope that helps. All right, next question I got is from Rodney Jones. What's going on, Rodney? Good to hear from you, man. Anyway, he asked a question. He says he has a friend who's trying to get into the music business as a producer. He's very talented, but he keeps running into brick walls and roadblocks. In other words, no success. Any advice? So, brick walls and roadblocks. I would really need to know what those brick walls and roadblocks are that he keeps running into. You said he's very talented, so the brick walls could be, and I don't want to speculate too much. I would probably have you just send me an email and let me know a little more detail of what these brick walls are and roadblocks he's running into. But we'll just say, for example, he's got all this great music and he just don't know how to get it placed to the right people. I know when I first started, it was hard for me to get music out because record companies, they were kind of like, well, what do you have out? I'm like, well, I don't have anything out. I'm calling you so you can help me get something out. They said, well, you need to have something out first. So basically what they were saying is they wanted me to do a lot of the footwork myself, work with someone, even if it was independently putting it out myself. So, and see if I would get, fans or people who were really liking my music. And then the record companies would kind of look at that and monitor that. And then they would make a choice of how they wanted to work with me. So the first song I did was some years ago was by this guy named a friend of mine, Eugene Wild, who had a song out called Gotta Get You Home with Me Tonight. And that was the number one song. And that was how I got my foot in the door. After that happened, then, record companies would easily pick up the phone because they were familiar with the work that I did. And I ended up getting an entertainment lawyer. Who really worked on the business side while it gave me the flexibility to just work creatively. So we had a team, we were working together, and things started happening from that situation. So again, let me know what roadblocks and brick walls he's running into, and I can help answer that question a little clearly. Okay? All right, third question is from Cassandra Wells, how are you? Haven't seen Cassandra face to face, 20 years, I believe. We are Facebook friends, and when I was on the road with Grover Washington Jr., she would come to the shows, and we just developed a great friendship. So I hope you're doing well. I hope your family's doing well. And Cassandra's question is, I'm interested in your thoughts on the best musical instrument for children to start with. Okay, to learn first. Well, it really goes for me. I think passion is the most important thing. What are they passionate about? Are there any instruments that they really gravitate to? A lot of parents do give their kids piano lessons or guitar lessons. And it's more from a standpoint of having them doing something that helps them to be disciplined, that helps them to learn, that helps them to focus on a craft. So that's great, too. But if you're really looking at it from a standpoint of, my son or daughter seems to be really interested in music and they're, I guess you would see how they really gravitate to it. I may start off with a piano or guitar and see how they pick that up. But if they're in school and someone's playing the violin or they pick up an instrument and say, oh, Mom, I like the saxophone. I want to learn how to play. Then give them a try on that. But I think the thing that they're most passionate with, or what they seem to really gravitate to, is going to be the best instrument for them. So I would start with that. For me, like I said, I started playing keyboards and I was just at a friend of mine's house. He would be, I think I was 13 or 14. He would be eating lunch and I would be in his dining room. They had a piano and I would just kind of tinkle on the keys and start picking out little melodies to songs. And next thing I knew, I fell in love with the instrument. So I think it can happen the same way with kids, because you really have to be careful of just making them do something because you're trying to discipline them. I've worked with a lot of students, piano students, who were excellent players, but then they were, you know, after a couple of weeks, they would say, you know, I don't want to play anymore. And I'm saying, well, you were doing so well. How come you don't want to play anymore? And they would say, well, I was only playing because my mom made me play. I didn't really want to play. So the passion was never there, but the, you know, they just came every week and played because their mom or dad made them play. So, you know, think about that as you're giving your kids lessons. What is your reason for them playing? Is it something that they want to do, or is it something that you are just putting, you know, trying to give them something to help them to be disciplined? Okay. All right. I hope that answered your question. Next question is from Rod Jefferson. What's going on, Rod? He says he have friends, musician friends, who are frustrated with gigging for little pay to the point where they say they're not going to play unless they are paid $200 or $300 for a gig. So he's asking me, what's my thoughts on that? Well, my thoughts on that would be, depending where they are musically. I mean, you know, when I first started, I just loved playing. It wasn't so much about the money at that time. It was more about just me finding places to play, to network with other musicians, to just have fun and doing what I was doing. You know, again, going back to the word passion, I was just passionate about it. I wasn't really so much into money. Yeah, as you get older and if you're doing the same things, you really need to think about how much money you're getting paid and look at each gig and ask yourself, well, is it worth it? Because you can put yourself in a situation where the person may call you and say, hey, man, listen, you know, this gig is paying $200, but, you know, it's down in Washington, D.C., and you have to drive down there. And, you know, they say, oh, yeah, well, we only plan an hour, but you need to be there at 2 o'clock because we have a sound check. And then, you know, after the gig, the drummer, he don't have drums, and they wanted to know if you could use your drums. So you just got to look at the big picture of everything that it entails and ask yourself, do it really make sense for the money that you're making? So really, you know, don't just jump into gigs and because they're, you know, seem like a good thing to do. But, you know, after you get a little older and you get a little more experience and you're looking at it from the standpoint to make a living out of it, you have to ask yourself those questions. Does it really make sense to do this type of gig? Okay. All right. Next question is from Arlene Whiting, a friend of mine from Christian Stronghold. Haven't seen her in a while either. That's the great thing about Facebook. You can stay in contact with people that you haven't seen in a while. So anyway, her question is, she wants me to be painfully honest about the steps, the commitment, the money, the training, education, sacrifice, rejections that's involved with making it as a professional singer or any other niche in music. And she says she's constantly repeating to certain family members that there are sacrifices to be made and they need a coach and a mentor. Also, the money that you need to get into the studio. So yes, Arlene, it is a big commitment if you're really serious about being a professional singer or musician or whatever niche you're getting into, you know. But you have to have goals, just like anything else. I know some musicians, we have that creative thing in us and we just want to play and have fun, but we don't realize all that's involved in that. It's if it's a business, you have to plan it out. You need to have a strategy. You need to have a vision. You need to have a goal. You need to monitor where you're going, because you can find yourself being in the same place and playing at the same clubs over and over. And you look up and say, man, I've been playing at the same place for 2 years now, and you're still not where you want to be. So you really need to look at the big picture, what you want to do. But yeah, It's a commitment and the sacrifice that involved in that. You're going to have people who feel like, you know, why are you spending so much time into music and you need to be doing this and doing that? And you're going to get a lot of rejection too. So it's real important that you have a picture of where you want to go, because you can just spin your wheels. As far as the money you need to go into the studio, depending on what studio that you're going to go in and what you're trying to do, is it going to be a live band? Is it going to be just a vocalist? And most of the music is computer, you know, done on a keyboard where you don't need all live instruments. So you have to, again, set the goal for that, what the budget's going to be, how much it's going to cost to really get the product that you want to get. So there are sacrifices involved, and, you know, I think as you grow as a, you get more experience in the business, you understand that more and more. But the key is really getting with someone who can help teach you and to coach you on these things, so you don't have to spend a lot of your time spinning your wheels, or it's taking you a long time to get to where you want to get to. So, you know, anytime you can hit me up, again, at my website, DonaldRobinsonStudios.com, or call me, 215-874-7142. I do music consulting one-on-one, and it will save you a lot of time. You know, it will cost a little money up front, but in the end, you'll be better off than you just spinning your wheels and trying to figure it all out for yourself. Okay? All right. All right, next question is from Houston Williams. Man, we are old West Philadelphia High School buddies. Again, it's a person I haven't seen in years, but we stay in contact with each other through social media. So he's asking me about home studio set up for non-piano players, and what's the best DAW systems? Well, you have a lot of questions here. Also, contracts and engagement, pricing scale. So let's start with the home studio setup for non-piano players. So basically, you're going to need something like, I will start off with something simple like GarageBand or Logic, something that has loops and stuff in it, or piano samples that you can, because Houston plays the saxophone, that you can play to. So I would start with, depending on budget, you got a Mac computer, you can get GarageBand, it comes with it, and start there, and then take your sounds and your drum sounds and change the tempos and kind of shape and mold it to what you want it to be. Then Logic would be next. Myself, I use Pro Tools because I love to mix on Pro Tools, and I love the mixing and mastering software I have for it. And I also, creatively, I use Native Instruments. I love Machine and Kontakt and all the stuff the Native Instruments have to offer. I love the sound. So that's what I use to create on, but I use Pro Tools to mix on. Okay? So I hope that helps you. Robert Gilmore is asking about mastering. Well, mastering is one of those, the last stage that you get to after you get all your songs together and you mix it, then mastering is the last stage. I would recommend, you know, they have these sites out here now where you can just send them your file and they would master it for you. And I'm not sure how well they work. I mean, you'll get a better sound than probably what you have yourself, but it's better to go to someone who is experienced in mastering and really have the right mastering tools to get the quality that you need. So those of you who don't know what mastering is, basically mastering is the last process before you send your song to the radio or put it on your CD. It just makes the song really stands out and really shines. I don't know if you ever listen to or look at TV and you'll see a commercial or three or four commercials go by, and you'll notice that some of the commercials, the music or the people talking is softer than the other ones, then the next one come up and it's really loud and you got to turn your TV up and down. Well, mastering, what it does is it adjusts the sound so that it all the songs that you hear, like on the radio, are consistent. If you didn't master it and you just gave somebody your song mixed and you put it on the radio, you would hear a big difference, more so probably in the volume of the song. So I'm not going to get too deep into mastering, but just to give you a basic picture of it. But it's very, very, very important for you to have your song mastered, not just mixed, but you have to have it mastered. Okay. All right. Let's see. We are 20 minutes in, so I'm going to try to get this all done within a half an hour. All right. So next question is from Michael Johnson. And Michael is asking about what's the best way to make money, I'm paraphrasing, to survive and have a music career. So that's kind of his question in a nutshell. And looking at a schematic way to build that and make it more comprehensive. But there's no one way. There are a lot of revenue streams out here to make money, but it really depends on what your forte is. So if you're a songwriter, you would focus more on getting your songs placed to an artist. And the artist would maybe pay you a percentage of the CDs that are sold if it's independent. And then there's, I'm trying not to get too deep into the music for some of y'all who may not know, but there's BMI and ASCAP, and they call it PRO organization, Performance Right Organization, PROS, that's what we call them, to collect royalties for you. Now, royalties that are collected for records or songs could be, you know, digital streaming, which you have Spotify and Pandora and TuneCore and all of these different social media sites or online sites, I should say, that play music and people listen to. So, but if you're an artist, you may just print up some CDs and after you do your gigs, go have a table set up, sell CDs after the gig. That's one of the best ways that I've seen a lot of people buy music. But again, even that depends on probably your older people who still are into CDs and buy CDs. And, you know, some people just want to go online or get a digital download of the song. So as technology changes, there's a lot of different ways to sell your music. But again, it's a loaded question. That could be a whole video within itself. So hit me up. We can talk more about it if you want to just set up a time do that. Okay. All right. Next question is from Miss Jackson, who is a great singer. And she asked the question of how do you determine percentages when you're collaborating with others on a song? Wow. That's a big one. I think the best way to do that, to make it short, is to make sure that each of you understand that you are collaborating. Because I've been in situations where, as a musician, someone has just lyrics for a song and they'll say, hey, can you put music to this? And they'll feel like that's not the song. The music is not a part of the song. The music is just an arrangement. Their lyrics or the melody is the song, and I should not be a part of the copyright on that song. So it's important that you all are on the same page and you understand what, you know, co-writing is, because there are some people who may feel like, well, you only came up with this one little part, and they may feel like, You know, you shouldn't be on the song. That was just like a little arrangement part. So I think it's important. And, you know, you have to use tact in how you do this, is to have some type of form together that says we're collaborating And you can write on each line the percentages that you feel. Is it 50-50? Usually it's a new song when people go in. I kind of think of it this way. If basically someone comes to me and they say they want to write, but they just have a melody or some lyrics, that's not a whole song. You need music to that. And you can go to 5 or 6 different musicians. You'll have different music. And I see that as part of being, I see that as being part of the creative process. So I think you just need to be clear on that person needs to understand that if you're working with them, that in the beginning or as you're working, that it is a co-write, because that's always not clear. But the best way is to have some type of form, contract that says we're collaborating on this tune. These are the percentages, and I'm the creator of the lyrics or music or melody, whatever it may be. And then you can talk about the percentages. Of course, it feels kind of weird going in that way with a piece of paper in your hand. But I think it's real important that it's clear that it is a collaboration. Okay? All right. And I'm going to do a whole video on that, because that's a real good question. Okay. One more. Let's see. We got 5 minutes. All right. So, Mary Keller, she was asking me about education for kids. Basically, I'm paraphrasing because I want to go a little faster. What's the best schools, the best programs? As a producer, what school did I attend? And what was my experience? So when it comes to music and people ask the best schools and best programs, again, it kind of goes to what does the child want to do? What are they looking to do? Are they looking to be an educator? Are they looking to be learn music business? Because each school is different in what they have to offer. And I think different schools are better for different things. For example, Berklee is great for turning out some of the best jazz musicians and best musicians when it comes to music as an artist. Drexel University has a great program for people who wants to get into the music industry. They have their own record company there. I think it's called Mad Dragon. And they teach kids the, you know, from beginning to end, how the record company works. And you do your record and you actually put stuff online. So it really depends on what the child wants to learn and what's the main thing they want to get out of college. I went to University of the Arts, which was Philadelphia College of Performing Arts back then. I went to community college first, and then I switched over to University of the Arts. Had my associate degree at community, and I was a flute major and played piano in a jazz band. And then I switched over to University of the Arts and studied piano. Mainly jazz and music arrangement, and I was there. So really depends on what the child wants from the school. Then I can answer that question a little better. All right, and last question really quickly. I'm going over a little bit, but we're close to a half an hour. Is from Jonathan Mason. He was asking about building a home studio. What are the must-haves when it comes to sound quality versus the buy it when I can afford it? So, of course, you need a great computer. Of course, I would recommend a MacBook Pro. And in that, you can have Logic. Or Logic is a great tool for writing because, you know, it's made. Mac endorses it, and it's a part of their software. So, you know, it's going to run great on a Mac. But so I would go with that first. As far as, you know, have some type of maybe 88 keyboard controller. So if you have a piano, someone who does play piano, it feels like a real piano, even though you're going through USB and you're using MIDI because you're using the sounds that are in GarageBand. So you have your computer, you have your MIDI controller. Of course, you need a great mic. But again, that all depends on your budget. You can get a good mic from, I would say, starting around $250 up to, you can go into thousands depending on what you want to get. And you need a great preamp. If you want to do guitars and basses and really have them sound good coming in alive. So maybe Apple G or preamp or an audio interface, or I love the Universal Audio UAD, the twin that they have. And it also depends on how many outputs. So if you're a drummer and you're looking to get something that has 8 channels so you can mic each drum, of course that's going to be a little more expensive. So it really depends on, I think, those three things first. I mean, we didn't even get into soundproofing and desks, and you know, all of that depends on how elaborate you want your home studio to be. But we can talk more about that again. All right, and two more real quick. Harlene Mack, she wanted to know about, how do you keep integrity of your craft and serve the Lord? And there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing nowadays. So integrity, integrity, integrity. I mean, I think it's all important about you being grounded before you really get out there, that you really get wisdom and get understanding and having sound advice. And all those things that they talk about in Proverbs are really important, because you can get caught up, and a lot of musicians do, but a lot of it is because they haven't been grounded enough. Depending on how old they are, you know, if you have a child who's over 21, it's going to be hard for you to tell them what to do, or make them do something that you want them to do. But they do need to understand how important it is to be grounded. Otherwise, you can easily get swallowed up in the business. So that's very important. And have a mentor. They have a mentor maybe with them on the road, or someone who is constantly helping them grow spiritually. And they're, you know, attending church services on a regular basis to help them to grow spiritually. It's really important. But that's the key of being grounded. And when it comes to wolves and sheep's clothing, there are wolves everywhere, whether it's music, whether it is, you just got to be. So that's a life lesson more so than just a question when it comes to music. We can talk more about that also. That could be a video within itself. Okay, I think I'd answered everything, and I did it in 33 minutes, which is pretty good. If you have any questions, please, go to my website, DonaldRobinsonStudios.com, or call me at 215-874-7142. That's 215-871-42. Hope you enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to doing many more. Oh, also, my brother and I, we're working on a great package for indie artists. It's called MVP Package, and it's music and video that we're putting together for artists at a very, very affordable price, who wants to have just help brand themselves and be on social media and have something that really looks good. But I'll tell you all about that. It's coming up soon. So if you're interested, you can also hit me up and let me know, hey, I'm interested in your MVP package, the music video package. All right. Okay. Great talking to you. And y'all all have a great day and a blessed day. And I'll see you on the next blog. Take care.